All right. Well, thank you for joining the Identity Implementers Working Group call today for 24 September. I am putting the link to the wiki page in the Zoom chat so you can follow along. Feel free to add notes to this page if you'd like as we go on and discuss the topics from the various working groups. So feel free to add notes in areas where you've attended various calls or whatever. Also, if you could sign the attendee roster, that would be great. That way we have a record of who's attending and we have a way to get a hold of you should the need arise. Now let's start out with the antitrust policy. So this call, like all the Hyperledger calls, are covered under the Linux Foundation antitrust policies. And so basically what that means is if you have proprietary information that you keep proprietary within your company, please don't bring that to our call. And anything that's discussed here is of mutual benefit to the industry as a whole. And so we love participation and discussion, so feel free to do that. But anything patentable or NDA worthy, that kind of stuff, if you could leave that out of the call, and then let's have fun and be excellent to each other. Let's see. So by way of announcements, let me start off. Are there any new people on the call who haven't been here in meetings past that would like to introduce themselves?
Yeah, sure. My name is Jakob. I recently started as a PhD candidate at the Norwegian University of Technology and Science. And I'm working with blockchain solutions for supply chain management and mainly privacy and security. So I'm curious to know what you guys are doing.
Excellent. Well, it's great to have you. Well, we're going to go. So the purpose of this call is we try to touch on several of the main calls that have happened during the last, we meet every 2 weeks. So during the last 2 weeks. And just try to give you a general understanding of what has transpired recently in those calls. So that if you don't have, there's zillions of calls. So probably you don't have time to attend them all. So we can give you a quick summary. And it'll also help you find calls where you have a particular interest so that you can attend those calls regularly. I try to put meeting notes and links to presentations and things like that so that you have those ready access on this page right here as well. And then you can go to the respective working groups for greater detail. But it's great to have you. Anyone else?
That would be, so I would take the opportunity. Hey everyone, Sebastian here. I'm a software developer working for Lissy, which is standing for Let's Initiate Self-Sovereign Identity. We are a project from Mind Incubator in Germany, and we are also involved in the ID Union project. And currently I'm trying to catch up with all the important working groups around India and areas, and I thought this would be a good starting point. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Welcome. It's great to have you. Yeah, as I mentioned, this I try to make this a little bit of a nexus so you can get overviews here and then details at the groups where you have extra interest. Welcome. I've been hearing a lot about the Lissy project, and so it's exciting to have you join today. Thank you. All right. Anyone else?
So here is Himanshu Pan. I am from Kolkata, India, and I am working on Clizo solutions. So I am as a Python developer, but currently started working on this identity things. So mainly how identity is, like how we can use this identity and like make a proper way to like convert this concept into real life scenario and solve the real life challenges. So this is my starting days, and this is my first attend in this call, working group call. Thank you.
Excellent. Welcome. It's great to have you attending this evening. Thank you for joining us. All right. So couple of announcements. So we'll go over the project updates, and then in the later second half of the call, we have Kevin and Philip from SCORE, and they're going to be giving us a presentation of the Canis project. And so we very much look forward to that. I understand that that's written in ARIES Framework Go. And so it'll be exciting to hear some overviews and discussion of those technologies. So we look forward to that in the later half of the call. By way of announcements, coming up here in mid-October, the 20th through the 22nd, is the Internet Identity Workshop. Just like the spring conference, due to COVID-19, it'll be held online. And so I've got some links there to the conference page and the registration page as well. So feel free to go there and sign up. This is a very big nexus of everything that happens in the identity industry. So if you haven't been before, I encourage you to take a look at it. It is one of my favorite conferences. It's run as an unconference. So there's no set agenda at the moment. That agenda materializes on the fly based on breaking research that various researchers are conducting. And so everything's super up to date and very cutting edge. It's a very exciting conference. Also, I found a link over here. I just kind of threw it in the announcements. I thought it was interesting. I'm not sure if it was intended or how it came about, but there seems to be kind of a nexus of various identity industry meeting slides, presentations that got put there. So I came across it the other day, and it's got a wide range of things from trust over IP to sovereign stewards council slides and whatnot. So feel free to poke around there. I thought that was interesting. All right, let's jump into the working group reports. Did anyone attend the main identity working group this week? So I did not. I did put a link here to the notes, and I thought it was interesting. They had a presentation this week by a PhD student from Cornell University presenting a project called Candid. And it's described as a platform that enables users to manage their credentials. And so as we implement self-sovereign identity and wander around to various sites and services and connections, and we end up collecting all these credentials, that project is said to help users manage that, as well as integrating with existing web service logins. So I don't have all the details on that. I made a link to this paper, which I will go read later. So I put that there for you as well. On the meeting notes, there is a link to the video presentation for that as well. All right. Hyperledger Indy, any updates there?
On the last contributors call, we had a session on, so a follow-up on the Indy Interop-a-thon, and most specifically on getting a new node release in process, where we hope to improve the CI/CD processes within that. We had a second meeting to go over the release, and that release is now in process. So some of the backlog has been moved forward. So that's good. Things like removing the last vestiges of the old Indy crypto dependency and transferring it all to be an URSA dependency. That was one big thing that's moved forward. So that's been happening, and we'll have another session on planning the release at the next contributors call.
Excellent. So with that update, so when is that update that replaces swaps in URSA for Libsodium? When is that scheduled to take place?
We still want to finish off the release discussion. We want to get all of the backlogged items out of the way so that we can synchronize the stable and master branches, and because they've been allowed to drift. And so we want to get those synchronized. So we're going to take a bit of time. We don't have any urgency to release something right now. So it's probably going to be on the order of a month before, you know, that's happening. So it's going to be go at the right pace to allow us to both, as I say, synchronize the branches and also do work on the CI/CD migration.
Excellent. Those are all important updates as we migrate from the sovereign to the community-led efforts.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We'll watch for that. I know that we've discussed on the Sovereign Stewards call that the ledger is operating in good order. So these will be welcome updates, but we'll take them when they're ready.
Yeah.
On Ubuntu, do you know the status of that migration up to Ubuntu 20?
We didn't go through that in the indie node release, but that is intended to be part of this one. So we'll continue moving forward on that one. That one wasn't discussed at the first release planning. So when we talk about on the next Indie Contributors call, we'll be covering that.
Excellent. And that is every 2 weeks on a Tuesday. So
this
not
coming
this week,
Tuesday. Yeah, this coming Tuesday. Yeah.
I should add for that, Stephen, that Cam is standing by on that. So if you ping or add any comments to the PRs or the issues that he was working on before, he should be responding to those.
Awesome. Good. Good. I will be checking on that. Good.
All right. With everything else that's been going on, I'm not sure we're going to have any updates, but any updates on the shared libraries?
Yeah. Things are progressing quite well. Andrew has been, on our team, has been focused on building a Aries storage layer for quite a while. He's now to the point where A, he's making it more public, and B, he's begun work on creating a branch of ACAPI that is removes the dependency on Indie SDK and use entirely the new shared libraries. So Indie VDR, Indie Credex, I believe, has been merged into, well, I don't know yet, so we'll confirm. It will be merged into shared RS. And then this Aries Secure Storage Initiative, which he has called Aries Askar, ASKAR, which is the brightest star in the Aries constellation, and also means guard. So it's a good thing for an Aries storage layer. So that's the next step, is to get that all working under ACAPI at first, and if anyone else wants to use it, they can. Things of note, performance is better, much better on Aries at this point. Even just minimal tests show, a 75% improvement in performance in some benchmarks he's done. I can't remember the other. I was going to make one other, but I'll just go with that. So things are looking good. He's done a lot of portability testing between exporting an indie wallet and importing it into Aries Askar, and it's working well. And he's able to run a pilot test on that, so that's good as well.
Excellent. Thank you. On that, I'll add that I've had an issue compiling libindie under iOS. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, and I've been pretty slammed schedule-wise in the meantime. But after today, I should be getting back onto that. The general status is if you compile libIndy locally for iOS, what happens is you can build it for the simulator because the simulator is x86 based. But then when you compile for the device, it kind of, the linker kind of gets confused and it's trying to link the native code with the ARM code and it doesn't link. And so my suspicion is what's happened is that there's been some incompatibilities with compiler updates recently that have caused that to happen. I'm kind of guessing a little bit. But I'm going to jump back on that here after today and try to find a solution for that. So if you're building in the simulator, that works really well. If you're building for deployment, there's a little bit of a holdup. So the workaround right now is to not build libIndy on your own, but to actually use the libIndy that's been built that's on the sovereign repo. And so that works just great. And should probably have all or most of the updates that are in the code anyway. So a couple of people have reached out to me on that because I talk about iOS a bit. And so that's the status. If you pull the library from the online repo, you're gonna be just fine. If you try to build it on your own, that's the limitation. All right, so Hyperledger Aries, did anyone attend those calls this week?
I can report on those. I did not go to the A call, but it was on, it was a discussion on architecture and looking at the Aries architecture. I had done a presentation at the Trust Over IP Technical Governance Working Group on Aries architecture, and in particular how it works with different layer one utilities. And I believe that that was the focus of the discussion. In the afternoon discussion, we went over governance framework. We talked about, actually the first thing was updating the message types of Indy messages, or of DIDCOM messages, changing over the message type prefix from DID to HTTPS. So that's a community coordinated update. Machine readable governance framework, and in particular, an initial framework that looks at an email access to an email address framework. So a credential that represents email, and using that as a way to create a community managed governance framework, and including the machine readable components of that. Sam did a summary of DIDCOM version 2 that is being worked on in DIF, and there's a link, as you can see, to the what's new section, which basically talks all about DIDCOM v1, which is what we're using in Aries today, and DIDCOM v2, what it's going to be like. And finally, I did a presentation on Indy revocation issues that we've been running into, and sort of an explainer clarifier on Indy revocation 1.0, how it works, and why it's confusing, and what we're doing about that, which will enable us to launch a program to issue credentials to lawyers in British Columbia and be able to revoke those credentials. So this revocation's been a bit of a holdup in that process, and we look forward to in the next couple of weeks starting that rollout of issuing verifiable credentials to lawyers so that they can access services at the BC Ministry of Justice.
Excellent. That's exciting. I really like hearing how things are not just under development but are going live in the industry. So yeah. Thank you for that update. Let's see. We talked about some of the shared libraries before. Any updates, Stephen? I know we're having you speak a lot this time. Any updates on the Occupy?
We're at 054 done. 055 is pending because we're going to update some other sort of internal work that was done to make a lot more robust the handling of revocation. That's the main change in it. There's a couple of other things, but that's the primary thing is we ran into issues where if things went badly in creating revocation registries, one got into a bad state in being able to use them and not being able to issue or revoke credentials. That's not a good thing. So we did a pile of, you know, sort of plumbing work to make sure that we could not, that we would avoid states like that and always be able to issue and revoke. So that was a crucial thing in a production launch of revocation. So that's 5.5. We're also, that'll include things on the community coordinated update. So that will be happening as well.
Excellent, thank you. Let's see, we talked about the shared libraries, any updates from the various frameworks and SDKs? And if not, that's okay. Did anyone attend the IRSA meetings this week? I did not attend the meetings, but I was read through their agenda, and there's a ongoing discussion of post-quantum crypto, which is, that's an important topic. I'm glad they're taking that up. And so
Steve, we were there. Sorry.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Well, you're right. They discussed post-quantum crypto, things that people can do now. There was some debate, which admittedly was over my head, as to whether things people are doing now can help mitigate, quantum in the future, and then sketching out plans for what to do.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I know there's several algorithms for post-quantum that are in the running to become the default or the actual standard. And those, I've been reading about those various algorithms, very intense and very, very interesting. So I'm glad that Mike Lauder and the other crypto experts are over there monitoring that and working on rolling that in. That will be a much welcome addition.
Also worth pointing out was the creation of a new repo for a Go wrapper around IRSA, and work's begun on that.
Oh, excellent. That's exciting. Yeah, Go is something that our company has kind of started looking into recently. We've mainly been Swift, iOS, Mac-based. We do Android as well, and so we're, along with everything else, we've been looking at Go, and it's quite interesting. So interesting is good that they're having a wrapper. Are you guys building that?
Yes, we are.
Well, excellent. We look forward to that. And as you have updates to that process, send me a note, or we can put that in and discuss that in a future meeting as well.
Great. We'll do.
Excellent. Let's see. So Trust Over IP Foundation, given the time, I won't go into great detail. I've updated all the links for the main steering committee as well as the various working groups. At a high level, it continues to progress, and they are creating templates and governance documents for describing everything. The general purpose of the Trust Over IP is to be able to describe all the various standards at each of the four layers in the Trust Over IP stack, so that we can know which layers, how they talk to the other layers and so forth. And there will be various verticals talking about the various technology standards and implementations for particular verticals, so that as you integrate in or on top of any of those layers and standards, they're all there. And so there's a lot of discussion about document formats and that kind of stuff. So that's all coming together. A lot of activity there. And like I say, I updated the links. So there should be links to the recent working groups for those areas of interest. Let's see, I don't see Sam Curran on the call. He usually gives us an update of the DIDCOM working group over at DIF. Did anyone else happen to attend that this week? I kind of was in and out of that meeting.
I was there. It was and a bit the same. I wasn't 100% on it, but largely it was around continuing discussions of where we were with the differences between the two and sort of certain specific issues around zero round trip and did exchange. So I don't think there was a lot. It was more about this. That's all I can say. Yeah, I wasn't focused well enough on it, so I shouldn't even be speaking.
No, thank you for that update. I know that I've listed here in the chat or in the wiki document the various PRs that were being discussed. And so, like I say, I too kind of wandered in and out of that meeting. But there was some good discussion on how those ought to work and they continue to move forward. Stephen, do you know, is there a target release date for DIDCOM V2 or is that kind of still out there a ways?
What they're aiming for in the next, I believe it's now down to a month, and I imagine it might, you know, they might use IIW perhaps as a target, but what they're trying to do is get the entire spec defined with to-do entries where there is not sufficient detail, but at least the entire spec would be covered. And so that's what they're working towards right now. So I think while it won't be a final, what the aim is it's the first complete draft of the spec.
Okay, so hopefully by IIW we see an announcement, if not an initial document on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Let's see. So, not too much update on Sovereign. We talked about that a little bit earlier in relation to the ND updates. So there's some links there to the Technical Governance Board meetings as well as the All Steward Council meetings. So if you are a Sovereign steward or interested in becoming one, those are some good links to get up-to-date information from. So, all right. At this time, that's it for the working group updates. As I mentioned before, we have Kevin and Philip from SCORE to give a presentation of the CANIS project. And I will let them do that introduction and then present their presentation. So if you all are ready, I'll stop sharing and the floor is yours.
Okay, can everyone see my screen, my slides?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so I'm just gonna start with a brief history and a little bit of backstory as to why we felt the need to stand up a new open source project. So as part of our platform, part of the work that we do revolves around delivering supplementary documents in support of a student's application to a college. Some of those documents include initial transcripts or letters of recommendation or high school profile. And that introduction, that integration, sorry, for the most part is us zipping up files, delivering them to an SFTP folder somewhere, and then the college's automation process or lack thereof picks up and tries to ingest them into whatever college CRM they're using. And going through that process, we realized that, you know, wouldn't it be nice if all those documents that we're sending were machine readable? So at that point, we decided to take a look at blockchain and how that might help us with those documents. And we set up a proof of concept in 2018 using Hyperledger Fabric. And to be honest, it didn't go very far. We never really felt like we were barking up the right tree. And it became hard to kind of rationalize how we would onboard high schools and colleges to kind of use this process. But having been introduced to the whole Hyperledger community at that point, and Indy was obviously a thing back then, we kept our eye on it and we kept doing research into digital identity. And towards the end of 2019, we literally stumbled over an article on the Life with Alacrity blog called The Path to Self-Sovereign Identity. And that, coupled with the research we were doing with Hyperledger Indy, a lot of light bulbs kind of went off with the idea of a high school student beginning to own their identity and their own information that the high school is publishing about them. So with that kind of in mind, we also took on the mindset of, you know, maybe this is a social obligation that given how early high school students interact with our platform, that starting that education of digital identity would be a very good thing. So we put together a proof of concept at the start of 2020. And the goal of that proof of concept was to demonstrate issuing a verifiable credential to a high school student connected to a high school. And as part of doing that, we started to pull together, you know, the idea of verifiable credentials, the usage of Indy Node, you know, the original proof of concept used Aries and ACAPI. And then we kind of transitioned into Aries Framework Go. And as we were working through all of that kind of the technical side of things, we also started to get pulled into other sides. So, you know, comprehensive learner records, and what do they mean for verifiable credentials? The integrated learner record, the work being done by the learning economy on Ed 3.0, and just how all these things, there's much more to the proposed ecosystem than just the technical side of what we're doing. So in short, I stole this line actually from the Saturn V tip that Dan put together. I only read it a month ago, but it really did sum up kind of where and why we started Canis, I'm sorry, to help propel the adoption of digital credentials. That was our goal, you know, for ourselves in our ecosystem. But what we, you know, as we put together our proof of concept, there was nothing education specific to what the work we'd done at all. In fact, I think if I said the only thing that was specific was the schema and cred defs that we were writing, I think that would be about it. So at that point, it became obvious that the work we'd done to try to tie these, what we now understand are layers 1, 2, and 3 together of the trust over IP stack, that was something that everyone could benefit from. So any ecosystem out there that wanted to start issuing digital credentials could look to Canis and, you know, I can use this to get started, right? So how does Canis do that? So it exposes, or will expose, REST APIs or gRPC interfaces to do things like create agents. So in our ecosystem, that would be a high school or a college, and then establish connections via Did Exchange for students with wallets, issue verifiable credentials, request proof presentations, and present them. Pretty much that trust triangle. I didn't have the obligatory slide in here, but that trust triangle of that we see on the trust over IP slides, enabling us to do that. Very quickly, this is the third version of the architecture. So the way that Canis is currently designed is that we have a load balancer that takes all requests coming in and then distributes them across a message queue. And then we have instances that we call doorman, verifier, and issuer, and those map closely to the Aries protocols for Did Exchange, present proof, and issue credential. And in order to sort of make a lot of this work, we built a new transport plugin for Aries on AMPQ which will be contributed shortly. And then obviously we have the Indian node underneath and then our own data store that we use to support these transactions on the side. So the things that Canis can't do, we can't give you a ledger to write to. Currently our ledger is a four node cluster in Google Cloud. It's, you know, it's our own kind of mini private testnet. There's lots of ledgers out there, whether you want to go sovereign or BBU or something like that, or it doesn't help with governance. So the proof of concept and all the work that we've done is very heavily focused on that technical side of the two-layer stack. And then obviously, you know, whatever ecosystem you're standing up needs, you know, its own governance in order to do that. What are we trying to do next in the very short term that we started discussing yesterday? You know, add support. We currently have support for the indie style credentials in terms of issuing, and we're working on supporting them for verification and then adding in the linked data based verifiable credentials and signing with VBS Plus. That's the new hotness. And then in the long term, we'd love it if Canis could support things other than indie and Aries. You know, the backlog right now in GitHub is small, but there's currently only three of us working on it. So yeah, and that's kind of, that's all I put together. I wasn't sure how much time we had. So it's just a brief kind of overview. Those are our tags on GitHub and Hyperledger. If anyone has questions or wants to reach out, feel free. That's it.
Very cool. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's exciting. Thank you for that overview. Any questions on the Canis project from anyone? All right, so you mentioned—
Actually, sorry, I had trouble finding my mute. I just wanted to ask about the the layer you had for load balancing and so on. I just wondered what type of stuff you were using, what type of infrastructure you're running on.
So under the hood, that is RabbitMQ.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I said, we have an Aries transport protocol implementation for AMPQ, which we use to talk to that, and we use to process messages off that queue.
We've been talking about adding Rabbit on and off into our world. We started a project with it, and we're never quite sure when we really need to go to that. We probably are long overdue, but we haven't. So we're largely using, we're running on Kubernetes, and so we're just using the load balancing to a service that's inherent in that.
Yeah.
And we always wonder whether we're doing the right things or whether it's time to change.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was really a question of, you know, if this could scale, like where would some of the pain points be? And obviously, you know, large volumes of incoming DIDCOM messages will be a great problem to have. And just, yeah, so we threw in the load balancer at the early stages just to kind of mitigate that and give ourselves an easy place to ingest all messages from. So just that single feed.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks.
Excellent. So you mentioned that one of the slides said that you're using the Vaughn network. And so I think that's what you meant by your four node ledger. What are your plans for actually taking this live?
So currently, Canis as it stands, obviously, is kind of the blueprint. And then in order to fully implement this, you need a system to integrate with. So we're currently looking at the BBU ledger. And so adding configuration options to Canis to support different ledgers. We wouldn't try to stand up our own ledger for this. So obviously, initially, we talked about using Sovereign and how that would work. More recently, we've started looking at the Bedrock BBU utility and how that might work. Configure your own ledger and then let Canis do its thing on top of it.
Yeah, that's exciting. I know One of the goals of Ares is to virtualize that so that you can switch back and forth between ledgers. Let's see, any other questions? All right, well, thank you for that presentation. Thank you for joining us and introducing us to the Canis project. Excuse me. That's something that we'd come across recently, so I was interested in learning more about the project. Now, I noticed on your slides, you had a GitHub repo. Could you put that link in the chat and then I'll make sure it gets on the page here? I thought I had put it, but it looks like I didn't.
Yep, let me send it.
Excellent. I will copy that into the meeting notes. And then I presume your contact information is there if anybody has any questions or wants to participate, they can reach you there.
Yep. Yep, they should be able to, you know, and just for the record, we're in the usual places. So we're in the Hyperledger Rocket Chat and the Trust Over IP Slack channel. So yeah, you can find us in the usual spots.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for coming and for preparing that. And I think that's all I had today. So unless there are any other questions or comments, then I think we'll give you a little bit of time back in your day. Thank you all for joining. We meet on this call every 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks from today, we'll be meeting again, and I look forward to having you all join. Thank you for participating today.
Thanks very much for the invite, Stephen. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.